Father, may my words be good and honourable and bring out understanding and love in our lives today. Amen. The last two verses from our reading from Ephesians, which Nicole read, have been translated by J.B. Phillips to read as follows. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ Jesus, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. That's really a powerful paragraph, and one that can be used as an inspiration to us when we're asked about our faith. But of course, when it was first written, it was directed to the people of Ephesus. But having said that, it's in our Bible in the New Testament, and therefore must be equally applicable to us here today. We became God's people when we heard the good news and believed in Christ Jesus. And the good news, in a way, is part of my theme this morning. But we have to hear it and understand it, as some of the people in Ephesus were to find out themselves. The good news, which was foretold in the Old Testament, became a reality in the New around 2 millennia ago. And I'm going to point to a starting point for me. And it starts for me with some well-known words from morning prayer. Some words in what we call a canticle, the words which I remember, I try to remember them all if possible, because they can be a substance to part of my daily and weekly life. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people to set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Now, I'm not going to recite it all. Some of you may be able to carry on with it in your heads, but I'll come back to the ending in a minute. This canticle, you may or may not know, it's also known as the Song of Zechariah, because it was Zechariah who wrote it, or who said it, and it was written down afterwards. Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, and in their old age, they were given the promise of son through God's own grace and God's planning. And Zechariah was so unbelieving at the possibility that his wife could have a baby, he was struck dumb for the whole of the pregnancy. And he was struck dumb until he was going to announce the name of the new baby, which God had already given to him. Blessed be the Lord. So the ending of that song of praise comes with these words. And remember, there's Zechariah's, and he's talking about a baby. Because when the baby was born, his tongue was released and he was able to call that baby John, as he had been told by God. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is what the baby John was to grow up into. This was his commission from God, foretold by his father Zechariah and inspired by God himself. John's calling, his commission, was to go before the Lord Jesus, preparing his way. But John was not only what we call the forerunner, but he had a mission and ministry of his own. He, of course, became known as John the Baptist, calling people to repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. And his mission was even foretold by the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And John challenged the people, and he called them to bear fruit which befitted their repentance. And his teaching predicted the coming of Jesus, and his ministry predicted that which to come, calling people to share. He predicted Jesus' ministry in that way, asking people to share their clothing, to share their food, asking tax collectors to be fair and soldiers to be content with their lot. So then at that time, it's not surprising that a lot of people thought that he was in fact the promised Christ. But no, he said quite plainly, "I baptize with water, but he who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So John carried on with his mission to the people in anticipation of Jesus coming to follow. He must have been well known for his preaching and teaching the truth about God's law. He must have been so well known in high places, because we read that he had reproved Herod for his relationship with his brother's wife, which was against the law. And so disturbed and upset was Herod that he had John shut up in prison and bound. And that seemingly ended John's ministry on this earth. And I guess that's where we pick up the end of John's story in the gospel reading, which we heard read just now. But not before noting that Jesus in his ministry spoke very highly of John. John had sent messengers to Jesus asking if he was the one who was to come. Was he the Messiah? And Jesus replied to John to go and tell people what you have seen. That is what he had seen in Jesus' ministry. What he had seen at the hands of Jesus. The blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, lepers cleansed, and the deaf hearing. The dead were raised, and the poor had good news preached to them. And afterwards Jesus said this of John to the crowds. He is a man more than a prophet, of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. Messenger, forerunner, preacher, baptizer, whose righteousness stirred up anger in some and fear in the powerful, to the point that he was unjustly imprisoned. Although we are told that Herod really knew that John was a righteous and holy man, and he respected him, if not feared him. But his wife, his dear wife, had more personal reasons for wanting John out of the way, and she set in motion a chain of events which made John's death the ultimate sacrifice as a result of absolutely gross injustice, which could in some small way foretell the crucifixion of Jesus. John was not the true light, but a witness to it. However, we cannot minimize the significance of his prophetic ministry. John's influence extended well beyond his death, and not just in Palestine. When Samuel went to Ephesus, he found groups of disciples, and a group of disciples who he asked, Into what were you baptized? And they replied, John's baptism. And then Paul put them right, and he gave them the good news, telling them that John had told the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. So then Paul baptized these Ephesians, and he baptized them in the name of Jesus. And I guess that event marks a fulfillment of John's own testimony. He must become greater, I must become less. I wondered what to think after I'd written that sermon, and I thought several things. And one thing that struck me was, we must spread the good news. The good news of faith, of friendship, of fellowship, the good news of hope, the good news of helping, the good news that many of us, if not all of us, can share through our love of Jesus and our work in his name. Amen.